From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, the loudest fat lefties on the net.
That'd be us. Yes, it's time
That's me.
What number are we, Randall?
149, Bill.
149, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
It hardly fits on my jersey anymore. These big numbers, you know?
I know. Yes, we're...
I got numbers. I got words. I got the best words.
We're the dinner guests that won't go away.
Hi, Val.
We'll wander over to the fridge. What? You didn't shop? You were like that. Yes, it is time for 149, folks. And
show 149. They said we'd never make it. I'm happy to be here.
And we have had an incredible week, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. It just gets worse and worse and worse. We're going to cover a few stories on this, of course, the Donald Trump, the Donald Trump wagon was, this guy is amazing. He got up in front of people today because of veterans' donations that evidently didn't come through.
Never made it to the veterans.
Yeah. I don't know why they never made it. So
the check bounced.
Why don't we go straight to that story, Randall?
I love this story.
Well, this has to be a story because it's very convenient that this sleazebag Trump, and he is sleazebag Trump, this came out of Washington the other day. This is the Washington Post article that brought about Donald Trump's crazed press conference in which the cheese fell off his cracker, Randall. I swear to God, the guy's a...
It's just shocking. How could he do that? How much did he raise?
I'll tell you about it first. Let's have a look at this. This is from the Washington Post. Almost $4 million raised by Donald Trump's campaign at a veterans charity fundraising event in January has yet to be distributed to the intended recipients, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, this is the... Remember, he got pissed off with Megyn Kelly? And he said,
because she had blood coming out of everywhere.
Whatever. You know, they weren't nice to him. You know, so he went away and he sulked like the bitch that he is. And he said, I know, I'll have a fundraiser for vets. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what specifically happened is that he made it the big fundraiser. In fact, it was actually nationally televised on YouTube. It was all over the media that he was going to do this for vets. And then 2 months later, the Wall Street Journal says, okay, where's that money you raised for the vets? Because a majority of them didn't have the money because the money was not paid to Trump, to a charitable organization. It was actually paid to Trump. The newspaper contacted 19 of the 20. This guy is such a fucking shyster. The newspaper contacted 19 of the 22 veterans charities to which Trump promised to donate the proceeds and found that about 2.4 million of the 6 million raised has been distributed.
The rest went to Trump University. I'll give them all scholarships.
Donald Trump. Now Trump was adamant that he raised more than $5 million, which led to this press conference. Now, I've taken attack. Everyone knows what he does in the press conference. If you haven't listened to the full press conference, it's on YouTube. But the press conference basically was him bringing out the media and personally assaulting the media because they were wrong. Of course he was going to give the money. Of course he was. Yeah.
I just been gaining interest.
No. I wasn't holding on for the money for any other reason other than I was holding on the money. So, yeah. what do you think? What are you going to believe, your eyes or me?
That's just pocket change for me. $5 million here, $5 million.
How do you think?
I lost it. It fell down behind the cushions on my couch.
This is a guy who ran a university that you could get to off the interstate, you know, at the Holiday Inn. That's Trump University. So I'm not surprised at this. But the thing that Trump wanted to make clear during this entire thing is that he didn't want credit for it.
No.
Never mind the fact that this whole thing was televised nationally. Never mind the fact you just couldn't shut him up about it, right?
But That's right.
The point was that he didn't want credit for it. And I thought to myself, you know, he's taking this personally. And it again occurred to me that Trump is a narcissistic sociopath. You know, people run into me and they sit there and say, Bill, you know, you think Trump's crazy because of his ideas. I said, no. I'm telling you, Trump's crazy. He is a nutcase. He's a nutcase. He belongs in a
without
room.
Without the ideas, he's just like nuts.
Listen to me. This guy has, and I'm going to prove, listen, he has narcissistic personality disorder. And I always said that he's a sociopathic narcissist. I cut out on that speech every time Trump, the guy who didn't want credit for it, talks about himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, the guy who doesn't want credit for it, Donald Trump.
And you make me look very bad. I have never received such bad publicity for doing such a good job. Including myself, I gave $1 million. I didn't have to do this with the money for the vets, but I decided to because I thought it would be a good idea. And I didn't have to do that. It would have been easier just to give the speech. And the problem with the press, what they do is they convince people like me not to do it, not to give money. This money was raised during a little speech that I made, rather than doing a debate. The one debate I missed. It was the lowest rated debate, by the way, but I won't say that. So I gave $5,600,000, other than I gave $1 million to the Marine, to the law enforcement Marine. They are fabulous people. They honored me last year at the Waldorf Astoria, and I'm happy to do it because I wanted to make this out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't want to do this with the press is all involved. When I raise money, excuse me, I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty. When I raise money for the veterans, and it's a massive amount of money, I don't want the credit for it. I'm the only one in the world could raise almost $6 million for the veterans. I do raise millions. No, I raised almost $6 million. When I raise all of these millions, and when we started out, nobody ever thought it was going to be over 5 million or close to 6. I'm not looking for credit. When I raise millions of dollars, have people say, like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze in my book. You're a sleaze because you know the facts and you know the facts well. $250,000. They didn't know what it was for. And I have, again, upstairs, I have received phone calls with people crying. As you can see, I've given a lot of money and raised a lot of money for the vets. But I had no choice but to do this because the press was saying I didn't raise any money for them. Not only did I raise it, much of it was given a long time ago. And there is a vetting process, and I think you understand that. But when I raise almost $6 million, and probably in the end we'll raise more than six, but when I raised $5.6 million as of today, I didn't want the credit for it, but it was very unfair that the press treated us so badly. Oh, go ahead. Oh, I'm totally accountable, but I didn't want to have credit for it. Half of you are amazed that I raised all of this money. If the press writes false stories like they did where I wanted to keep a low profile, I didn't want the credit for raising all this money for the vets. I wasn't looking for the credit. I'm not looking for credit. I'm not looking for credit. I'm not looking for credit.
I don't want any credit.
Oh, you're a bastard. You're not treating this man with any respect.
Because he's a sociopath.
Oh, he can't help it. Look, he probably doesn't even know what a sociopath is. He probably thinks it's something nice, and he's gonna wear it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, but he doesn't want any credit. I don't think he says that when he's, intimidating a bank. Listen, this is the point that I'm trying to make here is, and it's a very serious one, he can't help himself because he's sick. He is literally sick. So if you look, I decided I'd do a bit of research on this and just say we've all kind of looked at Donald and we thought to ourselves, this guy isn't normal, really. You know, I mean, Hillary is a tool. She's a sleazy politician.
She'll say what she needs to get what she wants. Yeah.
But you know what? She's not crazy. This guy's sick. So I decided that I'd look at the National Institute of Health definition of a narcissistic personality disorder.
You've gone to Dr. Google. Now you shouldn't.
I've gone to Dr. Google.
You shouldn't self-diagnose on the internet, Bill.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let's score this. Let's score this. Is our bell ready? Okay. Whenever Donald Trump fits the description of a mad sociopath, we have to ring the bell.
Okay.
So here it is. Definition of a narcissistic personality disorder. A, narcissistic personality disorders involves arrogant behavior, a lack of empathy for other people, a need for admiration, all of which must be consistently evident at work and in relationships. People who are narcissistic are frequently described as cocky, self-centered, manipulative, and demanding. Narcissists may concentrate on unlikely personal outcomes and may be convinced that they deserve special treatment. Oh, no, that wouldn't be Donald. Related personality, and this makes you just feel really good. This kind of clarifies the fact that Trump isn't just a bad candidate. Trump is a fucking Stephen King film. No, I'm not fucking joking, man.
Which one? Is it like Misery or?
No. He has related personality disorders, including antisocial, borderline, histrionic. Narcissism is less extreme version of narcissistic personality disorder.
Wow.
Involves cockiness, manipulativeness, selfishness, power motives, and traces of Machiavellianism. And if you know what Machiavellianism, that's Trump. Okay?
It is.
That is fucking Trump. That is down to the ground. But what you don't know is the fact that it's more than when people say Trump is a psychopath, that's not entirely wrong. He is. Everybody you see around
They're not using it just as a slur.
Well,
they're actually using it as a real diagnosis.
A real thing. Because if you listen to the way he talks, everybody is a prop. Nothing interests him unless it concerns him. I would like to play for you just a little thing that The Last Word came up with. It was about 6 or 7 months ago, in which two psychologists talk specifically about this mad guy, Donald Trump.
Episode of Psycho Trump.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
So they went on about the peso. On Sunday, when most of that interview aired on Meet the Press, two op-ed pieces in the New York Times made psychiatric references to Donald Trump. Timothy Egan's column entitled The Junk Politics of 2015 said, normal politics can't explain Trump. For that, you need Freud. Trump fits the classic definition of narcissistic personality disorder. And in her column, Maureen Dowd included this account of her interview with Donald Trump. Quote, I tell Trump he has transcended the level of narcissism common in a profession full of narcissists. I ask if he was always like this, boasting that he had the best baby food and the best high chair. Honestly, I don't think people change that much, Trump said. I'm a solid, stable person. Knocking on the wooden restaurant wall, he added, I am a man of great achievement. I win, Maureen. I always win. Knock on wood, I win. It's what I do. I beat people. I win. No insecurities? I don't know how you would define insecurity as it pertains to me, he replies. Joining us now, two people who can define insecurity as it pertains to Donald Trump. Clinical psychologist Joe Burgo joins us from Denver, Colorado. He is the author of the upcoming book, The Narcissist You Know. And Jeffrey Kluger, editor-at-large for Time Magazine and author of The Narcissist Next Door. Joe Burgo, let's begin with Chuck Todd's question. Why does he have to keep telling us he went to the Wharton School and that he's very smart?
Well, extreme narcissists like Donald Trump view the world exclusively in terms of winners and losers, and they feel constantly compelled to demonstrate their winner status and at the same time to triumph over those losers that they despise. So it's a way of escaping and disproving a sense of inferiority or a defect that lies below the surface.
Randy, he's a psycho.
He's a loony.
He's a fucking psychopath. And this is terrifying to me. Because, yes, and it should be terrifying to everybody. Because he is mad. He is crazy. He is crazy for Cocoa Puffs, ladies and gentlemen. And he literally, he's a textbook sociopath. And I think that the more you listen to him, the more you realize he's not stable. But one of the things that this does is, you know how you approach someone like that?
With a big pole or a baseball bat?
No, no. The thing is that that's his weakness, is because he's insane.
I'm weakness against baseball bats.
But, that's his weakness. Because all you got to do with Trump, Look at that press conference, man. The cheese went off his cracker. He takes everything personally. And
What are they going to do?
Hit him again. That's the problem with Hillary. The Hillary doesn't campaign like that. Hillary is underhanded. You got to be totally upfront with this guy. You got to literally throw him off his game. Because
if he goes nuts. If he does the whole kind of what was that movie, Doctor Strangelove or something, and they have to take him away in a straitjacket. Yeah. If that happens, what is it? Just his VP or does somebody?
Yeah, his VP would take care of it, but they're not going
to. Does somebody declare him insane?
Randy, I'm serious, man. He's a Stephen King film. He could be the death of us. Seriously, I look at him and I see
the death of me. I'm exactly half a world away.
No, it's not going to matter.
Okay.
I think the likelihood of a nuclear conflict or a war or something something hugely, not to mention the fact, if he withdraws from climate change, he'll not only buck the country, he's a danger to the world.
He's just been endorsed. You know, he just got another endorsement today.
Yeah, from who?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, there you go.
They share hairstylists.
I'm so lonely. No. I mean, Kim Jong Un and those two, we get together fine because they're both nuts. They're both real narcissistic sociopaths. They're literally crazy. They're self-obsessed. Yeah. There is a very, very close bond between those two characters because Kim Jong-un is so vastly insecure. And Trump is, too. Underneath all this bravado is a whiny little bitch. A little mommy's boy who's been overcompensating his entire life. And the one good thing that I can think of to do with
He's got widow hands. He's got widow hands.
The one thing, you can't take a joke. He has no sense of humor about himself. So, you know, the key to defeating Trump is just make fun of him. Absolutely drive him crazy. Because he takes everything seriously.
So when he loses it, it'll show up on television.
He will lose it. I'm telling you, we're not even in the campaign yet. I watched that press conference, man. His noodle is close to bursting. So all you have to do, and we got to do it. We got to do it. That's why it terrifies me, because Bernie gets this. Bernie wanted to do the debate so bad because Bernie knows how to deal with Trump. You get a bully like him, you hit him in the face, and you never stop hitting him until he's down. And then you hit him again.
Well, we're not going to get that debate. So is it this Tuesday, the 7th, is California?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And that, by the way, will bring us to our second thing. And
did I just do a segue?
You just did a segue. It's not about a California. It's not about California. California is on the way.
Oh,
but I couldn't go away without mentioning Trump University.
Fuck you.
The playbook for Trump University. Now, we did a segment on Trump University. Not too long ago.
Yeah. We called it Fuck You.
Fuck You. Yeah. Where'd you go? I went to Fuck You. It's on the interstate. And Trump University, now basically
we weren't going to say fuck, sorry.
No, we weren't. But they actually revealed, now Trump in the press conference where he was a narcissistic sociopath also took off against the judge because the judge has revealed the playbooks that the salesman used at Trump University. And he insulted him because obviously he's a Mexican. You know, he's a Mexican. Just that he's a psycho. That's why, I mean, this guy's going after a federal judge, you know, and he named the people that were testifying against him personally. Mm. Can you think
that's
of this
against
guy?
The law, isn't it?
Oh, no, not for Trump. You know, but the thing is, imagine this guy with a kill list. This guy is a nutcase. So this is what we found out from the Trump University playbooks. Now, these are the documents that Trump University is supposed to follow. Here it is, and this is straight from the Washington Post with a backup thing that I'm going to play for you. The pitch from Trump University sales books made sure that potential customers felt special, Randy.
Oh, yeah.
You're special. This is not something we offer to just anyone. We don't want just anyone. You know, this is what they're supposed to say.
$25,000.
This is what they're supposed to say. You know who my boss is, right? Mr. Trump is on a mission to create the next wave of independently wealthy entrepreneurs in America. Is that you?
I hate scripted pitches. That's like phone. That's like doing like phone work, you know?
Absolutely. So I'm going to play for you something from this is a. But before that, let me just say that when he did his little Trump University seminars at the Comfort Inn near the Turnpike entrance, the documents, that's right.
Slip it in.
we've gone from Abraham Lincoln to the guy that runs the university at the Comfort Inn near the Turnpike entrance. The documents get quite specific, detailing how they should set up the rooms at the Comfort Inn for the university seminar. Listen to this. They would detail the music, the room temperature, the types of tablecloths that should be on display, and you had to play the OJ's Money, Money, Money on the sound system before every goddamn thing.
ABBA?
No, it's the OJ's Money, Money, Money. The room should be no more than 68 degrees. Table banners should be ironed and straight. And no candy should ever be put on tables.
Really? I only go to those conferences for the mints.
Yeah, I only go for the mints. But this stingy fuck is not even going to give me a milk dud. So here's the report that came out just today on the revelations of the Trump...
University
near
fuck
the Turnpike.
Yeah,
fuck you. And I've also spliced together a rather startling interview with one of the victims of Donald crazy man Trump. Yeah. Here it is from ABC and CBS News.
I don't want any credit. I don't want any credit for this.
So this is ABC News today and the initial report 18 months ago by CBS. Here it is.
We turn now to the race for president and a growing scrutiny over Trump University. Were students encouraged to max out credit cards to pay for tuition? This was Donald Trump announcing the university with great fanfare back in 2005. Tonight, his campaign standing behind the school. And all of it comes as a new national poll shows Hillary Clinton with a slight lead, 45% to 41%. ABC's Tom Yamas tonight on how much students paid to go to Trump University and what they got in return.
Tonight, Donald Trump in damage control, insisting Trump University delivered on its promise to help students succeed, a promise he made himself in this Trump U video.
At Trump University, we teach success. That's what it's all about, success. It's going to happen to you.
But now, by court order, we're getting a glimpse into a Trump University employee playbook revealing hard sell tactics used to get prospective students to pay tens of thousands of dollars for Trump's real estate course. Staffers told, quote, money is never a reason for not enrolling in Trump University. If they really believe in you and your product, they will find the money.
Action is what Trump University is all about.
The playbook shows people were instructed to tell students, this is not something we offer to just anyone. And you know who my boss is, right? How much did it all cost? Up to $35,000.
New Yorker Bob Gio wanted that success.
When I heard that he was starting Trump University to help little guys like me succeed, like billionaires like him, I figured that, hey, this is a really good deal.
Gio started with a three-day, $1,500 seminar in 2009 and then was convinced to enroll in Trump's Gold Elite program. That cost $35,000.
You learn from being with people that are smart.
But Gio says all he learned was they were phonies.
After the first retreat, I decided that all they were doing was trying to push you to pay more money at every retreat that you attended.
So, Randy, that is the Republican nominee for president.
Yeah, the only thing I learned was there was phonies.
The only thing I learned, first of all, you know, it just shows you how gullible Fox News and the entire news, the news networks have made us. They have made the American public so immune to bullshit that they're willing to eat it willingly. Because anyone who looks at this knows, I mean, I used to work selling. And I and there's an actual passage. I don't know if you've seen the film Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
Check out Alec Baldwin when he comes in.
Yeah, they're real estate people.
That's Trump. That's it. And but it actually is something a narcissistic, non-empathetic person would do. He doesn't give a fuck whether these people. I mean, you're talking about people who literally lost their life savings. Okay. Now, one of the things he said at the news conference was, oh, well, they all filled out these wonderful reports. What they don't tell you is the fact that all those reports were filled out on the first day. You don't find out it's a bait and switch until three or four seminars later, because you're sucked in and you're feeling good after that first one. You think, oh, it's fantastic. And they forced the people at the seminars to write their report cards on the first day.
Yeah.
So it's only later on that you figure out that you're getting fucked and that the Donald is doing the fucking. So if you for any reason think that Donald Trump is good for you and you were in the working class and you're poor, you're a fucking idiot. Because
Trump University was just a rehearsal.
It was just a rehearsal. And he's running the campaign for president for the same reason. Now, quickly, before I absolutely go, I do have to cover.
Yeah, go where?
We're going to go to a break because we got some good clips. But it was also the week, ladies and gentlemen, in which Hillary Clinton decided, oh, well, let's have our little intro for Hillary Clinton. Yes, this is our intro for Miss Hillary.
Now it's time for another episode of Hillary the Inevitable.
So you get into the general election if you're the nominee for your party.
I will be the nominee for my party, Chris. That is already done, in effect.
Yeah, so don't bother voting.
Yeah, California, your votes don't matter. I'm already the nominee.
You know what's great about this is that there's a real possibility that Bernie could just kill her in California. And for her, whether she wins or loses, that's the best thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Because she's such an idiot. She really is. What kind of person sits there and says, oh, well, it doesn't matter what California says to the people of California?
Yeah.
You know, I this is why I'm scared to death that she's going to get nominated, ladies and gentlemen. Well, but let's get to exactly what happened, because it was very rich. Rich and rare. Hillary had been investigated for her email scandal. And, of course, Randall, you and I always kind of thought that email scandal was just bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, evidently, again, Hillary could just apologize. She could just say, I didn't know. I'm sorry. It was a fuck up. And she could do that. Unfortunately, Hillary's been lying her ass off
for so long.
For so long.
Yeah. Which lie did I tell? Which lie did I tell?
Oh, that's it. She really is an automaton. She's a cyborg. She is our favorite cyborg, Hillary Clinton. So she's losing. She is also losing the respect of MSNBC, which usually is the most pro-Hillary channel. But Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough, he's a conservative. But yeah. Not only that, people on that table who usually love Hillary were going, are you a fucking idiot? And it's actually coming out that Obama's stepping in to make sure she doesn't get
I read that this morning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Obama's having to save her ass. This is how bad a candidate she is.
And isn't she going to have her Secret Service people take out Bernie?
Don't even say that. Let me do my favorite Bernie impression. If they take me out, it'll be for clam chowder. And maybe a knish.
No, I can't have clam chowder. It's not kosher. You cannot eat shellfish.
As long as it's kosher, I don't care. And I don't like those suits. So here we go with Hillary. She forgot to tell the truth a lot. This is off Morning Joe in the last 2 weeks.
That you would talk to anyone, any time about your emails, yet you did not cooperate with State Department investigators, an agency that you ran. Why?
Well, I have talked about this for many, many months. I testified for 11 hours before the committee, the Benghazi committee. I have answered numerous questions. We have posted information on our website, and the information that we had is out there. It's been clearly public, and my email use was widely known in the department, throughout the government, and I have provided all of my work-related emails, and I've asked that they be made public, and I think that that demonstrates that I wanted to make sure that this information was part of the official records.
That was mind-boggling. The number of false statements contained within that.
Amazing.
I mean, I don't want to be, like, negative. I really don't. But that was just mind-boggling. Does she not have anybody around her that can tell her, Jim Van Dyke? You know, we got to really stop lying.
Yeah.
Isn't there anybody around her that could just say, stop lying,
stop
Hillary?
Stop lying! Stop it!
Stop lying!
You know, the trouble is, you know what I've learned over this entire period of being a Bernie supporter in this election?
Yeah.
That all those things, you know why no one can tell her anything? Is because all the stories, I really do think now, after this election and seeing what she does, I haven't talked to the lady, I don't know her, but after this election and seeing her actions during this campaign against Bernie Sanders, I think she's a mean, venal person.
Did you hear about her Secret Service detail?
Well, it just so happens I have this, and I am more inclined to believe this. This is Hillary Clinton, and there's a bit that I'm going to play for you right after this. This is Hillary Clinton. A guy named Ron Kessler, who has been a writer for both the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, has written a book called First Family Detail. Now, First Family Detail, and a lot of you probably have heard of this, basically says the reviews of the Secret Service of people that they have to guard. And it goes something like this. Good morning, ma'am. A member of the Uniformed Secret Service once greeted Hillary Clinton. Fuck off, she replied.
She probably thinks that's cute.
So why can't anyone talk to her? I don't know. I don't know. Probably because she's a character in Game of Thrones? That's probably the reason.
It is. I think she's Queen Cersei.
Yeah, she's Queen Cersei, man. You don't fuck with her. Kessler writes flatteringly and critically about people in both parties. Regarding the Clintons, Kessler presents Chelsea as a model protectee who respected and appreciated her agents. See, it's not all negative with the Clintons. And this is why I think it lends it some credibility. He described Bill as a difficult chief executive, but he's an easygoing guy as an ex-president. And Kessler exposes Hillary as an abusive Arctic monster. When in public, Hillary smiles.
Yeah, no wonder he went to Monica.
Yeah, I now know. I never thought these things were true until this election, until watching the way she works. I believe it. Let me just get this. When in public, Hillary smiles and acts graciously. As soon as the cameras are gone, her angry personality, nastiness, and imperiousness becomes evident. He adds, Hillary Clinton can make Richard Nixon look like Mahatma Gandhi. Hillary was very rude, and she didn't appear to like law enforcement or military. Oh, no kidding. I wonder why. Hillary didn't like the military aides wearing their uniforms around the White House. She asked if they would wear business suits instead. The uniforms are a sign of pride, and they were proud to wear it, and the military were actually offended by it. Former agent Jeff Kane says Hillary would cuss at Secret Service drivers for going over bumps.
What?
Another former member of her detail recollects, Hillary never talked to us. Most all members of First Families would talk to us and smile. She never did that. We spent years with her, yet another Secret Service agent notes. She never said thank you. Within the White House, Hillary had
That's sad.
I know. She's just a bitter and very unhappy woman. Within the White House, Hillary had a standing rule that no one spoke to her. Gee, I can't understand why no one could tell her not to lie. Because she has a standing rule that Queen Cersei should never be bothered.
Does she have a brother?
Well, yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Because maybe she just needs a cuddle.
I think like Hillary needs a
like
lot
Queen
of cuddle.
Queen Cersei, yeah.
I think she's a very damaged individual, and I think she's mean as a cut snake. Basically,
no, that's kind of Australian.
Yeah, I know, okay. But you'll figure it out. Standing rule, no one spoke to her. This is true. Coy Copeland, the former FBI agent, said she had a standing order that no one could talk to her when you're going from one location to another. In fact, anyone who saw her coming would step into the first office available rather than have a conversation with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, great.
One Secret Service agent states, if Hillary was walking down a hall, you were supposed to hide behind the drapes.
Oh, God. And we wouldn't piss on her if she was on fire.
This is the chit sandwich we have. A real asshole. Yes, Hillary, you're an asshole. You really are. And a psychopath who is also an asshole. So
a narcissistic psychopath.
Yeah, no, I think the asshole wins, you know. But
I want Bernie.
Oh, I want Bernie. But let me tell you something. If she's the nominee, this is the shit sandwich that all of us are going to have to eat. But we're going to have to do it because Trump is a madman. He's crazy. But Hillary is a very mean, damaged individual. I really believe this.
It's my turn! It's my turn!
As evidence to the fact how ruthless, calculating, and cold-blooded she can be, this is the time of the California primary, folks.
Now,
what I'm saying is, I thought to myself, what was Hillary doing in the California primary the last time she was running for president in 2008?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what Hillary was doing. She was hanging around. And by the way, she keeps saying that Bernie should get out of the race. She was still around during this time. But basically, what she mused about to a reporter is that Obama, the first black nominee to be president, and then she mused why she was staying in the race and said, well, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned the assassination of the first black president. Let me take you this in context. She did this in the context of Colin Powell, who wanted to run for president, and his wife told him, don't do it, you got your head blown off.
Yeah.
Okay? She used assassination imagery to justify her place to be in the nominating process at that particular time.
Yeah.
I want you to listen.
Bernie, get out of my way. Yeah.
But this is not only vastly irresponsible, it's cold-blooded, it's calculating, and it shows you that, man, she will do and say anything. So I've pieced together the actual statement that she made in 2008.
No, no.
And then Keith Olbermann will take us to our break, because this is what he said about Hillary Clinton in 2008. Mm. Guys.
I miss Keith.
I do, too. But, guys, it's important that we remember history. Hillary ain't no nice grandma. Okay? She's a mean, nasty person, and she's got a history. And a lot of people say that I don't like her. You hate her because she's a woman. No, I don't. I hate her because she's a cold-blooded, mean, venal political hack. So here it is, Hillary Clinton giving us her best from 2008. We'll be back in just a moment.
And I've been around long enough. My husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California. I don't understand it. And, you know, there's lots of speculation about why it is, but...
What's your speculation?
I don't know. I find it curious, and I don't want to... attribute motives or strategies to people because I don't really know. But it is, it's a historical curiosity to me. We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
God knows, Senator. In this campaign, the nation has had to forgive you early and often. And despite your now traditional position of the offended victim, this nation has forgiven you. We have forgiven you your insistence that there have been widespread calls for you to end your campaign when such calls, in fact, had been few. We have forgiven you your misspeaking about Martin Luther King's relative importance to the civil rights movement. We have forgiven you your misspeaking about your under-fire landing in Bosnia. We have forgiven you insisting Michigan's vote would not count and then claiming those who would not count it were undemocratic. We have forgiven you pledging to not campaign in Florida and thus disenfranchise voters there and then claiming those who stuck to those rules were as wrong as those who defended slavery or denied women the vote. We have forgiven you the photos of Osama bin Laden in an anti-Obama ad. We have forgiven you the fawning over the fairness of Fox News while they were still calling you a murderer. We have forgiven you accepting Richard Mellon Scaife's endorsement and then laughing as you described his deathbed conversion. We have forgiven you the quoting the editorial or the electoral predictions of boss Karl Rove. We have forgiven you the 3 a.m. phone call commercial. We have forgiven you President Clinton's disparaging comparison of the Obama candidacy to Jesse Jackson's. We have forgiven you Geraldine Ferraro's national radio interview suggesting Obama would not still be in this race had he been a white man. We have forgiven you the dozen changing metrics and the endless self-contradictions of your insistence that your nomination is mathematically probable rather than a statistical impossibility. We have forgiven you your declaration that some primary states count and some really don't. We have forgiven you exploiting Jeremiah Wright in front of the editorial board of the lunatic fringe Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We have forgiven you exploiting William Ayers in front of the debate on ABC. We have forgiven you for your boasting of your support among working, hardworking Americans, white Americans. We have even forgiven you repeatedly praising Senator McCain at Senator Obama's expense and at your own expense and at the Democratic ticket's expense. But, Senator, we cannot forgive you this. You know, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California. We cannot forgive you this, Senator, not because it is crass and low and unfeeling and brutal. This is unforgivable because this nation's deepest shame, its most enduring horror, its most terrifying legacy is political assassination. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and for the grace of the universe, or the luck of the draw, Reagan, Ford, Truman, Nixon, Andrew Jackson, both Roosevelts, even George Wallace. The politics of this nation is steeped enough in blood, Senator Clinton. You cannot and must not invoke that imagery anywhere, at any time. And to not appreciate immediately, to still not appreciate tonight just what you have done today, is to reveal an incomprehension about the America you seek to lead. This, Senator, is too much, because a senator, a politician, a person who can let hang in midair the prospect that she might just be sticking around in part just in case the other guy gets shot, has no business being and no capacity to be the President of the United States.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Already, this election has been like anything I've ever seen. Okay, this is the anger, the fighting, the all-around Trumpiness of this race has created an interesting problem for parents and teachers who want to educate their kids about democracy. In fact, one teacher said she worries about the school's mock debate season when someone will have to play Mr. Trump, a candidate who, if he were a student, would be sent straight to the principal's office. It's true. Though, I would like to hear his plan to build a wall through Mrs. Green's homeroom and make Spanish class pay for it. I believe kids may have something to teach us all about this election, because they're too innocent to understand adult behaviors like mean nicknames and throwing tantrums. And not just about Donald Trump. They can also teach us about the girl who gets straight A's and doesn't understand why she's not more popular. Or the older guy who graduated years ago but just keeps hanging around with college kids. Not to mention all the kids who were bullied so badly they just went home. So, recently, I decided to sit down and get the thoughts of the key under 7 voting demographic. This is Road to the White House.
It's like we're a bunch of babies, like we're a bunch of stupid, stupid babies.
Kids Edition!
Hi. Hi. Hi, I'm Steven. I want to talk to you guys about the President of the United States.
Okay.
Do you guys know what the President does? What's the President do?
The President is someone who makes the city a better place.
Makes the city a better place? Yeah, Giancarlo?
The President makes the rules for everybody so people don't do the bad thing.
Yes?
It runs America.
Runs America, yes?
He helps the world.
Yep.
Makes laws.
A president is like a mommy or a daddy that keeps people safe and helps make the laws and also has nuclear weapons. Okay, here are some pictures of candidates who have already dropped out of the race. Now, this year, originally, there were 24 people running. Do you know any of these people's names? Don't worry about it, because you'll never need to learn them. Does anybody know who this man is?
You?
No, it's not me. It's not me, but thank you. Take my glasses off. Do I kind of look like him?
Yeah.
I forgive you.
No.
I forgive you all. What kind of animal? He was an animal. What kind of animal do you think he would look like?
A snake.
A snake? A little bit? A little bit? Like maybe a snake wearing a man skin? Yeah?
Bernie Sanders.
That's right, it's Bernie Sanders. Bernie believes that people don't share enough. Is it important to share?
Yeah.
I think it's fair to share.
I think it's fair to share.
I think it's fair to share too.
Mm-hmm. How does Bernie make you feel? When you look at Bernie, how do you feel? Raise your hand.
Happy.
Yes?
Happy.
You, wait, well, yeah. How do you feel? Wait, 1 second. How do you feel?
Confused.
This is Hillary Clinton, and she kind of seems like a grandma who gives you candy, but it's not the kind of candy that you like, but you eat it anyway because it's all the candy that there is. And it's been around for a long time, like in a dish. Butterscotch, you guys know what butterscotch is?
Werther's Originals. Are you familiar with Werther's Original Butterscotch Candies? Do you know what those are?
No.
That's all she has. That's all she has. The only candy she has. Does anyone know who this is? Yes.
Donald Trump.
That's Donald Trump. Does anybody have any questions about his hair? Because I'm not sure I can answer those, but I'll try. Yes.
It kind of looks yellow.
It does kind of look yellow. Does it look like it's really his hair?
It's a creepy creature that crawled on top of him.
It's a creepy creature that crawled on top of him? It could be, or it could just be his hair. What do you know about Donald Trump?
That he wants to put a wall through the Mexicans in America.
He wants to put a wall through the Mexicans in America? Yeah. What do you know about Mr. Trump?
Is he yelling?
He's yelling right now. Yeah, he's yelling almost all the time. Yeah. Can you guys try to make this face? That's good. That's great. Okay. Do you want to help me pick who the next president's going to be?
Yeah.
At the top of your lungs, say who you think the new president's going to be. One, two, three. There you have it. They don't know either.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant. Just all gather round. Yes, folks, when I look for a rant, I always go to my friend, Randy. Randy?
Yeah, because I'm raving.
I know.
I'm batshit crazy. I rant. And here
you
we are.
Rant.
Yeah, here we are. Randy's rant. But, you know, I'm not really all that angry. I'm just disappointed.
Why?
Well, because these God botherers.
Again with that?
Well, look, if we don't give them a serve.
Yeah, that's true.
They get angry.
Okay, what have they done now?
Okay, well, look, there's a couple of them, and they've just gone a little too far. The first, well, we've got our old friend, Pastor James David Manning.
You love him. Come on, we love him.
Yeah, if I don't give him oxygen, he just passes out. I've also got another one, Tom DeLay, who is
Jailbird Tom.
Yeah, he is absolutely sure that God wrote the Constitution. He's going to tell you all about.
and the
Reverend Kevin Swanson, the one who had all the GOP candidates up on the stage with him.
He's going on about.
Well, let's have a listen. You'll enjoy this.
So you want Kevin Swanson first?
Yeah, Kevin Swanson. Let's have a listen to Kevin Swanson, then Tom DeLay, and then we'll go out with a flame coming out of our ass with Pastor James David Manning.
Okay, here we go. Number one, Kevin Swanson, right here on The Bill Show.
I'm grieving. I'm mourning. I'm pointing out the problem. It's not a gay time. These are the people with the sores, the gaping sores. The sores that are pussy and gross, and people are coming in and carving happy faces on the sores. That's not a nice thing to do. Don't you dare carve happy faces on open pussy sores. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. I tell you, don't do it.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bill.
Sam B, actually, she's the one I saw clip on first. Because it's hard to believe, man. This is how crazy this election season has been. This guy stood on the stage and candidates asked to come to a function.
Cruz did it. And Bobby Jindal. Three of them.
Yeah, I mean, three presidential candidates asked to be included in this hootenanny. That's how crazy
you,
it is.
Don't you do it. Don't you carve those open punchy sores.
Oh, fuck.
We've got
okay,
Tom.
What's next? Give me another punch, Tom. Tom DeLay.
He's on a permanent delay. Let's have a listen to Tom.
Tom DeLay, a real corrupt bastard, but evidently he's born again or something. Here it is. Hear it again.
There isn't a more American ideal than to impact society, do good for others, and do it in the name of God.
Yeah.
Where did we get off of that track?
I think we got off the track when we allowed our government to become a secular government. When we stopped realizing that God created this nation, that He wrote the Constitution, that it's based on biblical principles, and we allowed those that don't believe in those things to keep pushing us away from the government, and instead of standing up and being unashamedly a follower of Jesus Christ.
Gee, Tom, I think the people became more evil when you started taking huge bribes from your corporate buddies and went to jail for fucking fraud. I think that was about the time, you know.
But, I can't believe that God wrote the Constitution. Jesus, it's like your friend Michelle Bachmann when she says, you know, God loves America because He wrote the Bible in English or some such shit. I can't look separation of church and state.
Can you imagine God just sitting there going, take a letter. Wait a minute, I have an idea. It's just like God wrote the Constitution. It's like the most insane.
It's shit. Based on biblical principles. Yes, all men are created equal.
What?
Yeah, nobody
owning slaves?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Yes. Anyway,
okay, now we've got our favorite. Just invite him in, our receptionist.
I will. I'll invite him in from the front porch.
Yeah, invite him in. He's out there on the swing. And let's hear Pastor James David Manning.
Pastor James David Manning, who's actually outside in course the Bill Show Studios reception room. He's the one who puts the dental magazines on the coffee table for you to read when you come in. And that he's also the reason most of the mints are gone. The desk.
He's got a cool the flame coming out of his ass.
But you know, Gertrude, the cleaning lady who comes up every night to clean around Pastor Manning's desk. Yeah. She's a chubby chaser. So I think this
Hallelujah, this sister. Hallelujah.
This could be love. This could be love.
On your knees, babe.
Stop. Disrespectful.
Okay.
James David Manning, right here on The Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God.
So when are you going to wake up out there and recognize that Obama is the son of Satan? That's who he is. He never attended Columbia University, and everybody knows that he's completely and wholly ineligible. But Obama knows that every last one of y'all out there are scared to death to raise your voice. You only talk about him in the quiet of your own closets, in your homes. You even hide your cell phones when you talk about Obama's ineligibility. You hide your cell phones when you talk about his Muslim faith. You hide your cell phones when you talk about the fact that he's a homo. You hide your cell phones when you talk about the fact that his wife is a lesbo. That she is really a man because you saw what happened to Joan Rivers. You are afraid of him. You are afraid of him, and you have tried to legislate him out of existence, and nothing has been more futile. Me, I'm James David Manning. I'm the Lord's servant, and Obama is Satan's servant. And you, America, you're just flat out cowards.
Randy, you okay? He's the James Brown of crazy, ladies and gentlemen. The James Brown of crazy.
Little Richard.
Oh, fuck. That's just priceless. That is got to be performance art. really seriously. Let's get serious for a minute. I tell you, that guy is a performance artist. Because that is just amazing.
She's a lesbot. And she's really a man. A man. You know what happened to James, to Joe Rivers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God, that's great. That's just.
Oh, that's what happened to Joe Rivers.
You know, and I feel, now I have a hard time, Randy, because it's getting very confusing. There are two tinfoil hat segments in this broadcast. You know that. Yeah.
Well, your that was a tinfoil. That's a tinfoil bodysuit. Okay. Now here's a good one for you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really finished my rant. My rant.
Okay. It's your rant.
The Lord's servant.
You
the
go
Lord's
for it.
Servant.
Yeah. Okay, Randy. Calm down.
What bothers
we
me?
We don't want the Reverend outside to get excited. The Gertrude is there, so who knows?
What bothers me, Bill, is that people really take this seriously. Oh. They give enormous amounts of money to these people.
I think the Rev.
Sometimes they do good. Pastor Manning does good.
Can I raise my hand here just for a second?
Okay, sorry.
No. I just want to say one thing.
It's your show. Go on.
I just want to say a thing. I agree with you on DeLay. He's a complete nutter. He's a scuzzbag. He's just a total guy. He's the real estate guy at the golf club that takes the money from senior citizens' homes. You know what I mean? He is a first-class asshole with power. I mean, there was a time in which he was big. And then you have the first one. He's a danger because these presidential candidates. Pastor Manning is just fucking crazy. You know that,
don't
you?
Well, he is. But you know what? Pastor Manning is... Then you've got Steven Anderson of Tempe, Arizona, who's just plain crazy.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Pastor James David Manning and his organization did a lot of good. He's a bit of the Jim Jones, a bit of the Kool-Aid, but he actually ran a center in Harlem, near the Apollo Theater, and actually fed a lot of people, a lot of homeless, all that sort of stuff. But I just think he started believing his own message. I am the Lord.
Yeah, the Reverend's got that down, man. Seriously.
He started believing his own shtick, and I just think, and carving happy faces into open
now
pussy
that,
sores.
That is absolutely amazing because I've seen this guy, and he is absolutely a crazed nutcase. But he
looks like Dennis the Menace's father. He's not all that distinct.
I know, and that's half of them. They just seem very good at dinner until they start killing the pets. You know, I mean, they're very nice, but they're cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. So sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, I hope I am not offending a lot of people because I know they listen to broadcasts by these people and it gives them a lot of comfort and joy. But honestly, people, these guys are selling you snake oil.
Boy,
and it's not.
When I want comfort and joy, I call up Tom DeLay.
Oh, geez, I wish I had my compass from high school. I could carve happy faces in my open pussy sores. Oh, but that's not half of it. The rest of that speech was about how he was going to cover himself in sackcloth and ashes and horse manure at his son's gay wedding.
Well, I mean,
if his son was gay, so
when you talk, when you sit there and think about it, though, this is a very disturbing comment on America. Because Trump is there because people voted for him. And there's a big percentage of America that's just absolutely nuts. You know? They're cuckoo.
But what on earth are they going to do about that guy if he gets in?
What, Trump?
Yeah.
I am very fearful about the stupidity of humans on this planet. But
now they're trying to buy him off.
But I don't think so. I don't know what you're talking about, Randall. That may happen in the future, but you know.
Oh, sorry. Nudge, wink, wink. No more.
Okay.
But I just think that I don't know. Is that guy there just for fun?
What, Trump?
Does he really believe?
I think he's a narcissistic sociopath. And that's the name of it.
We talked about that. Yeah.
I think he is an absolute. I think he is, quite frankly, Stephen King insane. And I'm not saying there was.
You said that, and I had to think about that, and I thought, that's the shining. That's the shining. That's the whole thing. It's misery. It's misery.
There's a wonderful. There is a Stephen King novel with that character in it, and it's The Dead Zone. And Johnny Smith, who's the hero, runs into a guy named Greg Stilson, and the whole idea of it is that he can touch people and find out their future, and he sees the future of Stilson pressing the nuclear button and destroying the world. And so he has this kind of thing. What do I do? Do I get rid of this guy? Now, I'm not advocating that anyone do anything violent. Let me just say that. NSA, anyone listening? No.
Oh, except Hillary Clinton saying that they should shoot, somebody in California.
Yeah, yeah. Other than Hillary saying it, you know. But she didn't say they should. She just thought it was a novelty thing.
I'm going to stick around just in case.
At that particular time. I don't know why. Yeah.
Just in case Artie Bremer just happens to pull out a gun or something.
Well, let's get off assassination, because that's not my point. Yeah. The point is that what happens in the novel is that the guy actually does have an... Please, if you're reading The Dead Zone, this won't spoil it too much.
Please don't spoil it.
The guy is quite frankly insane, and the media catches that. And what is going to happen during this campaign is that the media, even though it's bought off and corporate and everything like that, this guy has a meltdown every 2 fucking seconds. The cheese is going to fall off his cracker in the middle of this campaign. I guarantee you. He will have a breakdown. Something's going to happen. Because he's nuts. He is a psychotic.
But what's going to happen? He's going to go to, where are they having their convention? Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, and I think
he's going to go to Cleveland.
And
what's going
to
happen?
I wouldn't put it past the Republican Party to still try to get rid of him. Because what he comes up with every day is insane. I mean, it's just, it's cuckoo. It's not even strategically wise. You know, I mean, Nixon... And those people, and I'm saying, people say, oh, well, he's just fantastic putting on a show. But he has no ground game. He doesn't have people down there. He doesn't want to spend the money on a real campaign. He's a con man. That's what he does. But he's also supremely narcissistic. And every time he's frustrated or anytime someone takes a pock at him, he goes insane. No one can continue to do that with his disease and not have a breakdown sooner or later. He's under a lot of pressure right now.
Well, Chachi loves him.
Well, that's why I look for electoral advice. Chachi from Joni Loves Chachi.
I go to Scott Baio from Happy Days.
Hey, listen, we probably have to go to a break, and then we're going to...
Oh, let's go to a break. I just want to play that lovely little thing I got for... to celebrate the first anniversary of Bernie Sanders' campaign.
Because we still love Bernie. You know, we're holding our nose for Hillary. We love Bernie. And, you know, stranger things have happened. Who knows? You know, as Hillary once said, hey, you never know. It's just a novelty, you know.
You never know.
Don't want to bring up anything negative around this time like you did. So, dickhead. So here we go to our break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Today, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders kicked off his campaign for president.
He's a long shot.
A long shot.
I don't think he's going to be taken too credibly.
Bernie Sanders is a socialist, for God's sakes.
A thick Brooklyn accent.
He's 73 years old. He looks 91.
He's a little crusty.
He's a loon, isn't he?
Sanders is a loon. He wears socks on his hands and gloves on his feet. He butters his bread with Vaseline. He lives in a pineapple under the sea. If Salvador Dali and Dr. Seuss had a child, and that child was raised by schizophrenic howler monkeys, it would be Bernie Sanders. Give me a taste of this crazy wacko cuckoo bird.
If a bank is too big to fail, that bank is too big to exist. We must establish pay equity for women workers. We must be focused on campaign finance reform. Instead of cutting Social Security, we are going to expand Social Security benefits.
What a
What a rational, slightly left of center mainstream politician.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, it's time for the news and commentary. I just said that. So it's time for our tinfoil hats. And Randy?
I've got a good one.
Do you really?
Yeah, let's put it on. Let's put it on.
You've already given me three. So,
well,
so.
those are from the Tinfoil Hall of Fame.
They're
sponsored by Alcan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they pay us. Okay, go ahead.
Our sponsorship. Now, yeah, you right. know, America is synonymous with being litigious.
Mm.
They will sue you as soon as look at you.
Mm.
And we are, and apart from all of the, you know, mass shootings that we read about, we also read about people suing over stupid, stupid things.
Yeah.
That would just get laughed out of a court anywhere else in the world. This guy, here we are in Louisiana. This chap decides that he wants to go to McDonald's.
Yes.
Anytime he wants to go. And, of course, most McDonald's, after 11 o'clock at night, they shut. And you can just buy drive-through.
Yeah.
The only problem is this man is blind. Now,
he's going through a drive-through blind.
Well, no, he can't. You're not allowed to walk up to the drive-through. It's also a way to stop people getting held up at Macca's and stuff. So anyway, this guy's decided to take on McDonald's right at the very fountainhead at Chicago, where McDonald's
yeah, the head office.
Head office, and he's going to sue their ass for discriminating against him because he's disabled.
He was blind.
He's blind,
so
he can't get a Big Mac when he wants one,
and he can't drive.
And he doesn't want to have to take a taxi just to go through the drive-thru.
He's suing because he can't get drive-thru.
Yeah, because he can't drive. It's dead set true. This is tinfoil hat time now.
Okay,
we only tell the truth. You have a play of this one.
Okay.
And you see just how litigious America really is.
Jesus. Okay, the guy who's suing McDonald's because he can't go through a drive-thru without a car and he's blind. Okay, here it is.
If you want to get served at the McDonald's drive-thru, you need to show up in a car. For late-night partiers, that's an inconvenience. For Louisiana man Scott McGee, it's a discrimination lawsuit in the making. McGee is legally blind and can't operate a vehicle, which means he needs a ride if he wants a late-night snack from McDonald's. He says he's tried walking through the drive-thru multiple times, but has been turned away. Now McGee's filed suit against the company in Chicago's U.S. District Court, accusing them of violating the Americans with Disabilities Act by denying him services offered to sighted customers. McDonald's faced a similar suit last year after a New York man alleged the company's increasing use of Coke's Freestyle soda fountains made its soft drinks inaccessible to blind people. A McDonald's spokeswoman told WMAQ last week the company hadn't yet received the lawsuit, but didn't comment on pending litigation as a general practice. For Newsy, I'm Eugene Daniels.
Okay, let's think of how many other things. I'm gonna sue Nike because I only have one leg and they make me buy a pair of shoes. I just want one shoe.
I can see actually that he has a point that it's inconvenient.
Well,
you know. But maybe you get a friend to go through the drive-thru with you. I don't know. It doesn't seem why you would have to have a lawsuit. Maybe McDonald's should just let people walk up if they want. If they have a cane and they're blind, you can walk up to the drive-thru. But this is clogging up courts, man.
Well, people. This is it's a safety issue because if anybody's standing in the drive-through thing, you can get whacked by another car. So,
McDonald's aren't going to be able to afford to put in a handicapped drive-through window that isn't drive-through on every damn franchise.
No, they're not.
What are you talking
about?
They're
not. And the point is that there's people will draw a line. People will compromise. The one about, if you have self-serve soda fountains, have at Burger King and things to go fill refills, you can't tell which one it is unless you put your mouth into there and suck on it.
But somebody will help
you. Well, why don't you just put Braille on the thing,
There you go. Right, problem solved. There we go home. Seriously.
I know, but...
We don't need Al Pacino and Justice for All for everything, okay? Let's just solve the problem. Can't we do that?
That's us thinking, Bill. And that's because
we're crazy.
Well, no, they will... like that person that sued somebody... for getting into her personal space, movie theater because she asked her to, the woman behind her who happened to be Australian said, "Excuse me, could you get off your mobile phone? I can't hear the movie." And this woman turned around, screamed, and went and got the police and had her arrested for touching her on the shoulder and invading her personal space
while she was talking on a phone in a movie. Yeah. Lucky I wasn't behind her.
But that's
that mobile phone would have made a quick trip through a screen. Yeah, I'll tell you
but
that.
They just, but well, oh, then you would have. Then they would have pulled a gun.
There is nothing. A gun on you. There is nothing, Randy. There is nothing in the world more fucking irritating than going to the movies and have some fucking douchebag behind you. I don't care what age you are, yapping away. I didn't spend. When I went to movies when I was a kid, it was like $5.
Yeah, and they also didn't have mobile phones.
Now it's like you mortgage your house.
Yeah, they didn't have mobile phones. Broadway shows are $4.50,
And I gotta actually sit. One thing, I like kids. I think that kids are great. But because parents haven't actually taught them, there are certain things that you do that are bad manners. Yeah. that they are. And I know that sounds tacky and middle class tough.
Well, gets my goat. You're acting on stage and you look out and you see all these kind of zombies because they're looking at their messages on their phones and you sort of see these ghostly faces. They're not talking on them and they're not filming you.
Do you know that
they're just checking their story? Facebook in the middle of an audience.
Yeah, I know. Do you know the story of Katharine Hepburn at the Schubert Theater in Boston, Massachusetts? I'll tell you that. Say yes, Bill.
I'd love to hear it. Actually, I have heard it, but I'm sure our people have it. Yeah. Pick it up.
Pick up your cues quicker, man.
My mistake. Sorry.
Okay. They were doing Private Lives or something. I don't know. It was one of the times when she was like really old, getting on, but still an amazing actress. And she's fucking Katharine Hepburn. Yeah. And she's on stage in the middle of a scene, and somebody takes her picture, like with a flash in the auditorium. And Katharine Hepburn literally turns. From in the middle of a line, she just stops. She whizzed around in inhuman speed. I mean, just like she's like 804. Yeah. And she just turned to this woman and she said, "Get that pig out of here." and stopped the whole thing. And she was like in the middle and she had to go all the way out. "Now get out of here. God damn it. You pig."
Well, there
Jesus
was one
Christ.
Recently in Los Angeles.
You go home now.
There was one recently in Los Angeles. Where it was a play, I can't remember what it was, but one of the characters was gay. And somebody yelled out about, the actor himself wasn't gay, but the character he was playing was gay. And somebody yelled out something homophobic. And the guy who was with the actor, a big bruiser, went out of the audience and punched his lights out.
Oh my God!
That's crossing the fourth wall, isn't it?
That's performance art, man. That's method.
But he had said such.
What'd you fucking say?
You talking to me? But the point is that they
You know what would have been better, Randy, is that if he was doing Shakespeare. That would have been better. It's like, this is the winter I see before me. Hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Is this a dagger? Is this a dagger I see before me? I'm going to stick it in your eye, you pin.
Yeah. Yeah. You make another fucking word while I'm up here on this in tights, talking about my dead cousins. You make one fucking word again during my sonnet, I'll fucking take your eye out. The fourth annual Mafia Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Tony, did you like that? I don't know.
Okay. Listen, let's get back to the listeners. They were losing. We're losing them, yeah.
We're just, they're gone, man. They're,
anyway, that's my tinfoil hat.
Val is still here.
Growler Vape. And her husband, Randy.
And her husband, Randy. Val and her husband,
Randy. Father's Day, anyway, Randy.
Happy Father's Day, dude. Yeah. Fantastic. Listen, I'm going to forsake my tinfoil hat because we're running so late. I'm sorry. You know, it took a while to get this show up. We had some things going on.
Pastor James David Manny locked us out of the studio.
That's right. We'll go with that. But listen, we're going to be posting a new show probably tomorrow. So, if you care, we're going to be there. Hey, say wave goodbye to the
people.
A double header.
Oh, goodbye. Time for my meds. I'm actually looking forward to them.
Time for your meds, Randy. Yeah. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.